The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Thank you all for meditating together. I felt the sense of goodness from just being here with you all and practicing together. What a fortune, great fortune. So today I wanted to continue our reflections on Sila. And today I will be extending this to the third precept. We've been going through this one by one. And this third precept is undertaking the training rules of abstaining from misconduct related to sexuality. And again, I wanted to invite all of us to explore this from an inside-out framework and using this framework of a triple A, aware, abstain, and align. Aware of the inner forces and becoming clear of the consequences of unwholesome or unskillful. And then we learn to abstain, training to abstain from those that are unskillful, unwholesome. And then we align ourselves with what that is wholesome and that is a skillful. And so this particular training sept, training precept, the direct Pali translation of one of the terms, significant term in this precept, kama, refers to sensual pleasures. And so maybe the literal translation of this precept is more like undertaking the training of abstaining from misconduct in regard to sensual pleasures and sensual desire. And so this has a broader implication than the common interpretation, which is usually abstaining from misconduct in sexual relationships. And so today I wanted to explore this maybe from a broader perspective. They are not exclusive of each other in any way, but I would like to include a broader perspective as well. As we cultivate mindful awareness, like all of you have been doing this, right? And we can begin to see how sensual desire arise out of sense contacts, maybe related to seeing some beautiful appearances, clothes, hearing some sound or voice that somehow attracted us. I remember hearing many stories about Vipassana romance on retreats. I think some of you may have heard of this as well, or may have even experienced this. You know, on retreats, right? And there's not much else going on on retreats. So our mind can get caught up just by watching a person somehow, the way they take a cup of tea or drink a cup of tea. We can get really caught up by some romantic fantasy. It's not until the end of the retreat when the person began to speak or do something different. And then we kind of, all of a sudden, it hits us and what happened here, right? So these forces are common and potent within us. If we are attuned with our awareness and this momentary sensual desires It just kind of like ripples on the big pond of water. But they come and go. And that they ripple outwards, they kind of settle without getting manifested into anything significant at all. And yet without clear awareness and clear knowing, this kind of a forces can get an upper hand. Now we can get caught up. And we can ride out this kind of a desires and manifest into unwholesome bodily and verbal actions. And so as we began undertaking the training of cultivating awareness, we can become aware. We can know these forces. And then from externally, we take this training by undertake the training of abstaining from sexual misconduct. We don't want to play with the fire, right? And it's kind of like we don't want to get it burned. So being aware has a lot to do with how we can cultivate capacity to undertake this training rules. So it probably, I wanted to just name how potent this force is. It probably goes, and the kind of harm they can have on human beings. And there's no denial to this. And we all know that the misuse of this kind of forces, sexual energy, sensual desires, lead to deep trauma, deep pains, distress for ourselves and for others. And I was looking up at some statistics yesterday, and in one of the statistics I Googled, and I don't know how true the information is, but it feels reasonable. And so it says 40+% of the women in US has encountered sexual violence. And 20% of the males in America have been the victim of sexual violence. Isn't that amazing? And I thought this might be low, growing up with a sexual body. That there much harm can be done. As I was stunned by the statistics, and those are probably more reported, and unreported might be even higher. So just imagine, you know, one out of maybe close to two women might have encountered sexual violence. And yet these are deep forces within. So when we are hurt and harmed, so much dukkha can happen. Some people have a lifetime kind of hurt and harm buried within. And yet, because of the potent force, it's also easy for us to get caught. I recently read something from Sharon Salzberg, one of the pioneer teachers in the Western Theravada tradition. She shared about an encounter, and she said that in her article, a friend once was at a community meeting at which a member was being rather self-righteously denounced for their sexual misconduct. And my friend's comment was, "Who in this room has never made a fool of themselves over sex?" In fact, no one raised their hand. Isn't that kind of stunning. So sexual forces are very powerful forces. I wanted to say a few words about how we relate to these forces inside of us, and whether it's essential desires, misconducts in relationship to this kind of forces, and maybe unskillful actions that we experienced and taken in the past. I invite you to all also engage in the practice of not shaming ourselves or others, not blaming ourselves or others, because we all know that shaming and blaming are only adding salts on wounds, right? And this applies to all the other precepts, the whole training of a sila. Shaming and blaming is unskillful and unhelpful. Instead, the very fact that the sila is a training, it's pointing to how we can learn through coming to know these forces, coming to know the implications and consequences of these forces. And so we can train and learn to not get burned again and again. And this is a gradual training. Takes patience, lots of care and gentleness, kind attention, a willingness to learn. Just think about it, kind of how you might treat your children. If they make a mistake, we know they have potential to correct them. We don't just tell them, that's it, you know, you're a bad boy, bad girl, forever, right? Instead, we all know that children has potential to grow and mature through learning. In the same way, we are ever growing and maturing too, even though physically we're kind of, you know, adults. And this forces, sexual energy and sexual forces are also life-giving, life-caring. They feel the love of our partners and our families, motherly, fatherly love. We usually don't associate this with the sexuality because somehow, I guess nowadays, sexuality gets reduced to appearances and sensuality only. And it's undeniable, though, that the sexual forces are also life-giving, caring. So in practicing this training rule, we have a choice to honor and respect, care, love for life, and not to diminish life. So this speaks to how we align ourselves to respect and care for our own bodies and others. So I want to end with, again, this quote that I've been quoting from. It's Mangala Sutta, the Sutta of the Blessings. And I'll share this sutta link maybe in a day or two. And it says, caring for mother and father, kindness to children and partners. And this is the highest blessing. So may we all respect ourselves and others. And may this cultivation benefit all beings. So enjoy your practice and whatever the activities and you take today. And so we'll meet here again tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, and take good care. Bye-bye.